Hey, everybody, welcome to the Four Pillar Fitness Podcast. This is Coach Phil Houston behind the microphone once again. Today, I've got a very special and kind of interesting topic for you on coaching and working with kids. But before we get to that, really quickly, a little bit of housekeeping. If you're listening to us on iTunes, do me a favor. Hey, leave me a note. Let me know what you think. And if you like what you hear, drop us a 5-star rating. I really appreciate all the people who have already. But I know we have a lot of listeners out there who haven't left any notes or even contacted us to let us know what they're thinking. And I really do want to know what you think because it helps me figure out what to talk about next. So today's topic is accountability or unnecessary confrontation. We like to talk about accountability a lot, and I want to talk about it as it relates to athletes and stuff. And we're going to do that in just 1 second, right after this note from our sponsors. All right, welcome back. Let's get right to it. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's been said and written about the value of accountability and training in sports. So much, in fact, that the necessity of accountability in sports and training has become more widely accepted than the flat earth theory was in the time of Columbus. Now, Columbus and his cohorts did deal with the intelligentsia of his age. And as he did with them, I'm going to cause a few of you to have some seizures, or at least spit your sodium-free ion-filtered spring water, not available in the 15th century, by the way, through your nose with my next statement. Accountability is a useless form of confrontation. Utter crap. Okay. As it is used today in sports and school and a lot of other places, accountability is a useless form of confrontation. It is utter crap. Is everybody okay? All right, take a deep breath and I'll explain. Look, accountability is fine. It's useful for fulfilling dreams and reaching your goals and doing the things you really want to accomplish in your life, whether those dreams include the playing field, the corner office, you know, artistic excellence, or pretty much any other endeavor. Provided that is that whatever you're pursuing has sprung from your purpose, your why, and not from some externally imposed or settled on causation or impetus. Let me say that again. Accountability is useful as long as the thing you're chasing has come from within you and is part of you and hasn't been imposed on you by someone else or some other thing. In some cases, a look at why an athlete pursues a sport or training goal may result in said athlete walking away from the sport they're pursuing, and that just might be the best thing for them depending on the situation. However, I don't want to dwell on the many things that may be wrong with an athlete's motivation to play or train. What I do want to look at are those athletes with positive purposes for excellence and examine the role of accountability in those instances. So just a really quick story about accountability in one of my athletes. So I had a kid years ago who was a football player, and he had been a football player since he was a little kid, 7 or 8 years old. And he kept playing. And he complained a lot about football, complained about practice. He complained about his coaches. He wasn't really happy with them. He did play another sport. It was a secondary sport for him. He didn't really take it that seriously, but he was good at it. He wasn't that great at football, but he was good at the other sport. So we did a little digging and found out that the reason he played football is because his dad wanted him to. And his dad played football all through college and was a really good football player and probably could have played in the pros, but didn't because he got hurt and that kind of stuff. So there was some pressure from his parents, but especially from his father, to fulfill his father's dream, if you will. And I don't want to accuse the father of living vicariously through the son, because I actually think he's a pretty nice guy. But there was clearly something going on there that was preventing this child from playing the sport that he really wanted to play and he was already pretty good at, and coming back for more every year in football. Eventually, he sort of imploded in football, stopped showing up to practice in high school, and just, you know, kind of wore himself out and never got a shot to play at a higher level in the other sport that he played. So that's kind of where imposed accountability. It was an expectation that he had, okay? And the dad held him to, you know, his expectation. You got to go to practice. You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do this. There was some accountability being imposed on this child by the father with no ill intent. I don't think with any ill intent, but unknowingly creating a really bad situation, okay? So that's the kind of thing that I want to talk about. And there are some other things that we'll get to when we talk about, you know, accountability. I think what happens, we rely on the tools of accountability, okay? And what happens is, We really don't examine the role of accountability very closely. We just rely on the tools kind of unknowingly and without thinking too much about it. So the what and the how, if you will, become more important than guiding our athletes to discover what really drives them, right? The to-do list, the training logs, eating plans, and all the other ways that we keep, you know, quote-unquote track progress and hold athletes accountable are pointless if that athlete doesn't have a deep, burning, and intrinsic inspiration to get out of bed and excel each and every day. Now, look, I've got kids that we work with. These kids just, they do everything, man. They do everything. They train all year round. They do the mobility work. They do the tissue quality work. They take care of their bodies. They get enough sleep. They drink enough water. They're focused on all the things that will help them be a better athlete because they are deeply, truly in love with their sport and they want to perform well. and they want to do better at it. But when our kids discover that spark, the one that lies within them and moves them to think and feel differently, they will be different about their life and about their sports performance and preparation. When they begin to grasp and understand at a deeper spiritual level what it is that moves them to athletic excellence, you won't need any more tracking tools, okay? Notice that I didn't say they wouldn't be useful. They simply won't be necessary. When that kid gets in touch with why they strive to excel, they'll begin to do differently at that point. They'll be and then they'll do. And accountability will become a result of the process, part of the journey, rather than a challenging product or end result of its own. And that's really, really important. If this kid is just getting up in the morning and just dying to do all the things that are important and just driving it and getting and working on it and getting after it, you'll be able to see it. Okay. If you don't have to tell him to practice or her to practice and they just go and do it, you know that's intrinsic. Okay. That's coming from within them. The why of their life, their purpose, is what makes it worth getting out of bed in the morning. It also makes every grueling workout, every challenging practice, and every temporary setback part of a process of learning how to succeed and win, not just paying your dues. Paying your dues is for losers. Put your time in, put your effort in, do your best and get your best. Don't just pay your dues. Now, granted, most of these athletes are kids, and their why may change over time as it relates to career paths, their choice of sports, or any other number of other things. But the basic, essential, and critical things that lead them to be who they are will always impact and affect their thoughts, and by extension, their actions. Athletes have shared with me many times, the accountability process feels confrontational and painful for them. Coaches and parents often couch the accountability questions in the "why didn't you" format, rather than simply exploring what did get accomplished and why it mattered, and then helping the kids get connected to what seems important to be next. In other words, the focus is on a failure, perceived or real, which is in the past and cannot be altered, rather than the possibility of success, which lies ahead of the athlete. This ugly and painful, at least in a youth athlete's eyes, look at the past does nothing to reinforce the powerful spirit of the possible, which lies within the heart of every athlete. Now, there is nothing wrong we're looking back at something that didn't go well to analyze it sort of intellectually, okay? But what happens when you start to ask the "why didn't you" questions, that's confrontational. It creates an emotional response in the athlete, and you're not going to get to the bottom of the thing that actually happened that could be corrected, okay? And there's no reason then to convert that failure to a possibility of success. It's not going to happen. There's no way to do it, all right? So, but what if we address the idea of the acceptable status quo with our kids while skillfully avoiding allowing it to become about them? Now, with this in mind, we can certainly confront a lack of accountability or completion of agreed-to tasks and objectives with reasonable faith that our efforts and considerations will bring positive progress and results. The magic is in the method. So if we're willing to address the idea of an acceptable status quo, like what is acceptable to them based on what they want, so now we don't make it about them, we make it about what they want. You see, for the fragile teen or preteen psyche, pointing out and dwelling on what they have not done will likely be perceived as failure in their eyes. It's important to pay attention to what they have done and what they are good at. And I'm not saying baby them or pat them on the butt. Please understand, I'm not telling you to kiss anybody's butt here. You can be tough with them, it's fine. But always recognize what they have accomplished. No matter how much they have achieved, the accountability process, the way we previously described it, too often centers on what is not done. And this is experienced emotionally as failure in the mind of the youth athlete. Not only that, the failure and the emotions attached to failure become part of a very negative proprioceptive feedback loop that can create a slow or fast negative spiral to a mental and emotional pattern of failure, followed by exposure, followed by the reinforcement of the failure. I'm going to say that again. The failure and the emotions that are attached to failure become a very negative part of a very negative proprioceptive feedback loop that can create a slow or fast negative spiral to a mental and emotional pattern of failure, followed by exposure, followed by the reinforcement of that failure. Now, your athlete might begin to accept the failure exposure reinforcement process as part of their own perception and a part of who they are. Their experiences then become an extension of this perception. So do their efforts, by the way, since these experiences and efforts will be viewed through the lens of its emotional effects. And as a result, the expectation of a failure outcome becomes part of the athlete's internal mind track. That's a recipe for continued failure, resentment, and ultimately surrender for your kids, for your athletes. All right, it leads to burnout, it leads to failure. We can't allow that negative feedback loop to run in their brain, because it will absolutely create the kind of reinforcement that we don't want. One easy to integrate method for addressing accountability without a failure focus is to work from the what's left approach. Now, with this approach, we address the achievement process in four steps. Number one, we review it. We use a supportive and cooperative outlook, reviewing the goals and expectations the athlete set for themselves at the beginning of the training journey. Be certain to connect the athlete to the purpose for setting these goals in the first place. What emotions was the athlete seeking to experience? How would the accomplishment of these goals reinforce the athlete's belief system or further desire for success? Why did these goals matter in the first place? Number two, reinforce. Take the time to guide the athlete to understanding why, in the context of their goal scheme, each aspect of training, nutrition, rest, practice, and even academics matter. Reinforce the truths of achieving and completing each of the activities that go into completing and accomplishing training or other goals and milestones. Make the positive aspects about the athlete and any negative aspects about the process or what's necessary for the process and the learning that takes place. That changes the nature of the negative aspects. They become less negative and more necessary. Okay, and that's okay. If an athlete has a positive attachment to what they want and the process that becomes difficult and challenging, they'll see that as a learning process and something that's necessary to make them better. Now, really important here, and this is really important, it's important to reinforce all the whys, okay? Why everything matters, training, nutrition, rest, practice, academics, all that stuff, right? Reinforce the truths of achieving and completing each of these activities and make sure that they go into the process of completing and accomplishing training and connect the two, okay? Pretty important there. Number three, celebrate. Hey, take as long as needed to show the athlete how far they've come. If their accomplishments aren't, quote, on the list, explain to them how proud you are of whatever it is that you see in their development and how it will help them move along the path toward the bigger goals. Be sure to reattach the athlete to the positive emotions available in the celebration of achievement. Emotions are the most effective anchoring tool we have when it comes to the athlete's psyche. I'm going to say that again. Be sure to reattach the athlete to the positive emotions available in the celebration of achievement. Emotions are the most effective anchoring tool we have when it comes to the athlete's psyche. If you ask an athlete to think about winning, they'll think about it objectively. Yep, winning is better than losing. But if you ask an athlete to think about winning and then to dig in on how winning feels, how it feels to stand there, arms extended, holding a trophy with all your friends, jumping up and down, high-fiving everybody pour water on a coach, whatever, all that stuff, that's emotional. And that begins to attach itself to that experience. And then that experience becomes real for them. And it's much more likely that they're going to get there. Last, number four, break down and restart. Break down in a realistic yet upbeat manner all that remains to be done on the road to accomplishing the goals originally set by the athlete. Listen, this is a good time to massage any objectives which may be unrealistic relative to timelines or other factors. How you speak and your body language will go a long way to helping the athlete accept any changes which need to be made. How you present this to them is going to be the difference between them seeing it as undoable and never doable, or them seeing it as doable next. Okay? Important. Think before you speak and speak with love, respect, and a true desire for the athlete's success in mind. Once you've reset and adjusted any goals or portions of goals, it's time to restoke the fire for your young athlete. Get them attached to the why again. Use emotional language. Get genuinely excited for them. They're starting on a fresh journey, even if the road remains the same. Look, help your athletes get connected to their purpose, their why. I know it's not that simple. When you're dealing with mercurial, hormonal, and tempestuous teens and preteens and young adults, I get it. If you do this, though, you won't have to worry about accountability. While they don't want you to be a vapid, empty cheerleader, they do want you to be an emotionally charged, highly motivated agent of influence for them. Really, really important. Keep them focused on their goals and teach them to love the journey. Their goals and their desired results will become a natural extension of who and what they are. Accountability will come from within, and they might just call you out on why you didn't challenge them more. And I think that's an outcome we could all agree would raise the bar and lead to some really, really amazing things. I hope this helps you, parents and coaches, and athletes too, but parents and coaches especially. Hope this helps you understand, you know, how to connect the accountability to your kid's path, their kid's journey, without ruining it for them. And I hope that you understand. If you have any questions, you can reach out to me, direct message me on Instagram at Coach Phil Houston. Spell the last name right, H-U-E-S-T-O-N. You can check me out on Twitter at Phil Houston. Again, H-U-E-S-T-O-N is the last name. The website is CoachPhilHouston.com. Again, spell the last name right, H-U-E-S-T-O-N. I want to thank all my listeners. You guys are the best. And some of the questions that I get from you guys are just fantastic. And as always, keep the faith and keep after it. We'll be right back.
How do you know, man? How do you know, man? How do you know, man?